last two Sunday nights, we have been talking about eldership and the elders in the church. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the membership and each of the members having a specific role that they fulfill within the congregation, some being those of leaders or elders. And then last week, we talked about the three different words that are used in the Bible to define an elder. There's elder, shepherd, and bishop, and we looked at what all those words mean in the original language and how that applies to the role of an elder. But today we're going to look at the topic of the authority of the elders within the local congregation. If the actions and practices of some congregations are to be believed and set forth as the standard, then elders have no authority whatsoever. I'm sure you've probably heard of these congregations. The elders aren't in charge. The elders aren't allowed to say anything or to tell anybody what they should do. They can't even give their opinion on what people ought to do because elders have no authority whatsoever. Instead, elders there are reduced to figureheads, only having a title so that they can say, well, we've got elders just like they did in the Bible. So just really a figurehead, someone who's there and has the office in name only. And nothing they say or think matters to the congregation at all. Have you ever heard of a congregation where the elders really had no power whatsoever? I know up in Springfield there are a few of them like that. And because of this, in some congregations, the God-ordained office of elder has been reduced to nothing. Something God has commanded has been declared something that's external only and has no meaning. Sort of like what people do to baptism, right? Well, if actions and practices of other congregations are to be believed or the standard, then elders have absolute authority in everything the members do. There are some congregations where the elders can tell you who you can date, what house you can buy, what restaurant you can eat at, what kind of car you can drive, where you buy your gas, where you can go to school, what clothes you can wear. There are truly congregations where the eldership is that domineering, I guess would probably be a good word for that. And because of this, the God-ordained office of elder in these congregations have been exalted to equal with God himself. Neither one of those extremes can be right, though. God ordained it, therefore it is less than God, does not have the authority of God himself, but it's more than nothingness because God did set it in place for a reason. And today, we're going to look at what the Bible has to say about the authority of elders in the local congregation. First off, we need to establish, do elders have authority at all? Some people say no, and we mentioned some of those just a second ago. They think the elders are just mere figureheads who have no say in the lives of members. Instead, they are only there to do whatever the members ask them to do. These same congregations don't think the elders have any authority to make any decisions for the local congregations. Instead, it's assumed that majority rules. They rule by men's business meetings or by congregational meetings. Now, having said that, those are not sinful in and of themselves. If a congregation doesn't have elders, a men's business meeting would be just fine. There are some matters where it would be a really good idea to get the input of the entire congregation and have a congregational meeting about something, so that then the elders can make their decision. But when any one of those things, whether it's a men's business meeting or a congregational meeting, if either one of those takes over the role of an elder, it becomes sinful because you are usurping the elder's authority. If the elders, though, don't have any authority, what purpose do they serve? Well, you ask somebody that's from a congregation like that, and they'll say things like, well, since the elders are supposed to be apt to teach, it's the elders' job to teach classes. Perhaps they're the ones you call on for prayer when you're sick. James chapter 5, verse 14 says we are to call the elders when we're sick. And the only leading that elders are allowed to do, they say, is by example. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 3 says you're supposed to follow the example of the elders. But they're only allowed to lead by example. They're not allowed to tell anybody this is what you're supposed to do. They're not allowed to tell anybody the Bible says what you're doing is wrong. They're not permitted to make any decisions. They're just to lead by example and expect everybody to follow their example. How good does that usually work? Now, someone says, well, I'm not going to spank my kids. I'm not going to tell my kids what to do. I'm just going to expect my kids to look at my good example and just follow that. I saw somebody over here rolling their eyes. You know, and that really, that's really the attitude we should have towards people who are like that. Congregations who fit this mold are rarely ever sound in the faith, and we know they're unsound on their stance towards the eldership. The Bible says that elders do have authority in the local congregation. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17 is a passage we read last week. But he says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in in the word and doctrine." Notice he says the elders that rule well. Well, if you rule, you are in charge of, and somebody has to answer to you. You rule, you know, husbands are to rule their own household. That means their children and their wives are supposed to be in subjection to them. That shows some level of authority in the household. And so elders are said to rule, therefore some authority must exist by definition. So what does Paul mean by the word rule? Strong says the word rule means to preside, maintain, oversee, or rule. It's the same word that's used in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 4 regarding the role of a father. He must rule his own household, having his children in subjection to him. Does a father have authority in his own house? They better have, that's right. Okay, a father has authority. It's inherent in the role of a father. He has authority in his house. And he rules his house, and the elder does the same thing with the church. So by definition, an elder has some sort of authority. The elders have the responsibility in the local congregation to preside over matters within that congregation. They have the responsibility, therefore the authority in the local congregation, to oversee that congregation. Since they have a responsibility to watch for the souls of people, they obviously have some kind of authority. Otherwise, God wouldn't hold them accountable for that. So just as with children, the elders are to initiate correction when it is needed, because they rule in the congregation. The congregation, it says in Hebrews 13 and verse 17, are to obey those who have the rule over you. And since God directs that the congregation is to obey those, plural, who have the rule over them, these rulers must have some God-given authority. He is talking about the elders. And the Hebrew writer says, obey those who have the rule over you. Do you obey someone who has no authority? Why would you? If someone tries to pull you over and tries to give you a ticket, but they're not a policeman, you're going to accept the ticket, take it down to the courthouse and pay it? I wouldn't think so, because they have no authority. No authority to write you that ticket, and therefore you have no responsibility to obey them. He says there are those who rule over you. Notice he speaks of a plurality. He doesn't say obey that person who has the rule over you. This is just another proof that there was always a plurality of elders in every congregation. If they have no authority, there's nothing to obey, because they would have no right to tell anybody what to do. But since he uses the word obey, that means that absolutely the elders have some authority in the local congregation. We'll get into a little bit later what kind of authority the elders have. Are the elders the absolute authority in every section of the members' lives? Some people say yes. You know, the congregations that I mentioned before, anybody heard of the Boston Movement or Crossroads Movement? Hey, that's something that came to a head 25, 30 years ago, maybe more. The congregation I grew up in, we lost a couple members to that. They later came back, but they were never the same after that. But they taught that elders could control everything you could do in your life. Who you could date, what job you could have, where you could live, how you spent your money, what car you drove, where you got your gas, again, all those things that we mentioned earlier. In fact, the elders became all-controlling and ran every facet of the members' lives. These people wouldn't do anything without first consulting the elders. Call them up. Is it okay if I watch this TV show? Is it okay if I listen to the radio station in the car on the way to work? There are some people who it was seriously that controlling. Since their inception, the Boston Movement group has split from the church. They now call themselves the International Church of Christ. and they have a hierarchy similar to the Catholics. They have one person in charge, and then, you know, some people under him. It's a big pyramid now. But there are other, usually smaller congregation wherein elders run the lives of the members as well that aren't connected with this. Usually it's more one elder than anyone else. One elder usually takes control of everything, and it becomes more of a power grab. And when this happens, those congregations come close to being a cult. Because it's not what Jesus says, it's not what the Bible says, it's what a man says you have to do. And we need to make sure that we never fall into that. It doesn't matter what I tell you or what any of the elders here tell you. If it's not from the Bible, you're putting your faith in men. If you're following that instead of going to the Bible for yourself to find out what they're saying is true. So are the elders the absolute authority in every section of the member's life? Some people say yes, but the Bible says no. The elders' responsibilities all revolve around one thing. And if you look at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17 with me, we'll see what that one thing is. Hebrews 13 and verse 17. Here he says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you." Notice that you obey the elders because they watch for your souls. Everything that an elder does revolves around that one responsibility. They watch for your souls. Now, if somebody in this congregation began to date a non-Christian who wasn't in the least bit interested in studying the Bible, do the elders have the authority to go to that person and express their concerns? And you need to think about where this could lead you. Well, of course they do, because it affects their souls. How many people do you know have married a non-Christian, and instead of bringing that person to Christ like they thought they were going to, they've left the faith? I'm sure every one of you knows of at least one or two people who that's happened to. Look at Solomon, the supposed wisest man ever, married 1,000 strange women, and they took his heart away from God. He shouldn't have even married one strange woman. And how wise are you if you really marry more than one woman? But beside the point. Huh? You don't have 700 wives. You don't have anything to worry about. But who you marry can affect your soul. It can drag you away from God. And so the elders have every right to point out to them that you shouldn't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. They should be willing to point out to the Christian who's dating a non-Christian. The Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." Put going to heaven ahead of everything. Everything, including the fact that you like this other person who, by definition, can't take you to heaven, but can only take you away from God. They could point out, or could they actually go to the member, though, and say, "Stop dating them or we're disfellowshipping you"? I might as well just sit down now. No, Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 specifically talked to Christians who were married to non-Christians. And he said, as long as they're willing to stay with you, you know, stay with them, because you might just convert them. But it's not something you disfellowship someone over or kick them out of the church because they married someone who wasn't a Christian. But the elders have full responsibility to inform the members if what they're doing might affect their soul. The elders have full responsibility to inform the members if their job selection is something opposed to the Bible or opposed to God. Who's not here? So imagine Jim Campbell decided once he healed up, he was going to go down to Fire Lake Casino and get a job. Would it be okay for the elders to go to him and say, "You really shouldn't have this job"? Well, of course it is. It's something that would affect his soul. If the job is something that could affect the member's soul, the elders have the authority to act, because the elder's job is to watch for the souls of the congregation. Anything that could affect your soul, you know, your choice of job, your choice of spouse, choice of entertainment, the movies you may watch, All of those fall under the category of, or fall under the authority of the eldership. Anything that can affect your soul in a positive or negative way. It's the elder's job to try to make sure you get to heaven. But the authority of the elders ends with spiritual matters. Having said that, the elders are in charge of the congregation. They are to oversee the work of the congregation. So, yes, it is still the elders, under the elders' authority, if we decide to mow the grass, or if we decide to have the building cleaned. Even though those aren't necessarily spiritual things, they do fall under the work of the congregation. But can the elders tell you what time you can go to sleep? Can they tell you what time you need to get up? Can they tell you where to get gas or where you can eat? What kind of car you can drive? Again, these may sound far-fetched, but this is really what some congregations have demanded that their members do. Check with the elders before you do any of that. It's goofy. If it is something that affects your soul, the elders have authority to deal with it. And if it's something that affects your soul, you have the responsibility to obey the elders in that matter. The verse we just read, Hebrews 13 and verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves because they watch for your souls. They're only doing what's best for you, what's in your best interest. If something you're doing is going to affect your soul and they come and tell you about it, you need to listen to them. Because that is the elder's responsibility. Now the question, our next question is, do elders have absolute authority in matters of doctrine in the local congregation? Now the word there, absolute authority, is what I want you to focus on. More and more congregations are saying, yes, of course the elders have absolute authority in matters of doctrine. But do they? I have lost count of how many things I've read where an eldership has sent out a letter to the members and all the congregations in the area saying, well, after doing, and it's usually this way, after we've done an exhaustive study and we've decided that in the context it was only talking about the culture that women weren't allowed to preach. And so after this study, we've decided it's okay for women to preach. Well, if elders are the absolute authority in all matters of doctrine, that means the elders can decide what the church believes, what the local congregation believes and practices. I've lost track of how many times I've seen that same kind of letter referring to, well, we're going to use instrumental music because it's not bad. The Bible doesn't say anything about it, and after study, we've decided it's okay to use it. You realize what that means? That means you could have two congregations in the same town. One of them saying it's a sin to use instrumental music. The other one says it's not a sin to use instrumental music and we're going to use it. And if elders are the absolute authority in all matters of doctrine in each congregation, both of them are right before God. And neither one of them is teaching false doctrine. Well, by definition, if one of them says it's sin and the other one says it's not, one of them is wrong. Okay? This is where the Catholic Church really began to drift further and further from the truth. You know, they've got their belief system set up. Number one, the highest authority is whatever the Pope says. Second authority is whatever we've done or whatever the Church has decided to do in the past. That's the second level of authority. Third level of authority, whatever the Bible says. They put men ahead of the Bible. And that's what some of these congregations are doing. Means if the elders decide we're going to have Lord's Supper on Thursdays now or Saturday nights, that means it's okay. No, it doesn't. Doesn't mean it's okay at all. This makes man the authority of all things that has to do with God, when the Bible is the authority for everything that has to do with God. Everything of spiritual nature, we can find what we need in the Bible. I mean, how often do we point out that the Southern Baptist Convention has a convention every year to decide what they're going to believe that year? Isn't that the same thing? If you let elders decide what you're going to believe, if they can't back it up with Scripture, we ought not to follow them. The idea is that elders have absolute authority in all spiritual matters cannot be correct. It's like the Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. He didn't say, follow me in everything I do and accept my opinions for everything. He says, follow me as I'm following Christ. Well, we follow the elders as they are following the inspired Word of God. We don't follow them in any other... We don't follow them if they are off track. And we'll get into that next week. We're going to talk about the church's responsibility or responsibilities toward the elders. But the apostles did not have absolute authority in the church, and therefore elders cannot either. If Paul didn't follow Christ's teachings, the Corinthians weren't supposed to follow his example. But it's only as he followed Jesus Christ. The elders who rule well, 1 Timothy 5 and verse 17, were ones who also labored in the word and in doctrine. That means they labored in God's inspired word. They didn't labor in their own opinions. They didn't labor in what they thought or what they felt like. They labored in the word of God. That was their standard. The ones who rule well follow the standard that God gave. And to all Christians, which would include elders, Paul wrote, "Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord." Colossians 3 and verse 17. That means everything we do must be something that has God or Christ's authority. If we do not have authority for it, we cannot do it. It's interesting that that verse that says, "Do everything in the name of the Lord or by His authority," comes right after Colossians 3:16, which is the verse talking about singing. Making melody in your heart to the Lord. Doesn't talk about instruments. He authorized singing and then says, everything you do, make sure you only do those things by which you have authority from God. Interesting how those two go right next to each other, isn't it? If Jesus didn't authorize it, we cannot do it. 1 John 3 and verse 4 says, sin is a transgression of God's law. And transgression literally means to go beyond or to go outside of the boundaries. Well, if God's authorized something and you go beyond those boundaries into what's not authorized, it's sin. So if the elders don't have absolute authority in everything, and they don't have absolute authority in doctrine, what authority do the elders have? Well, the elders have the authority to teach the Word of God, 1 Timothy 5 and verse 17. They have the authority to teach God's revealed Word. They have the authority to oversee the work of the local congregation. Acts 20 and verse 28 uses the word bishop or overseer, and it's inherent in that word. They are to manage the things of the congregation. They have the authority to determine which members fulfill specific roles within the congregation. You know, if the elders think one of the members would be better suited in a different area, and they need to go tell them so. And then that person can be of better use in the kingdom. They have the authority to determine what material will be used in the classroom. They have the authority to determine when we're going to meet, where we're going to meet, who the preacher is. If they wanted to, they could even tell you where you could sit in the pews. You know, it wasn't a terrible long time ago that men were on one side, women were on the other, because that's just the way things were. And if an eldership had decided they wanted to keep it that way, that's fine. It's not anything that affects your salvation, so it's really up to the elders whether how they want it done in the congregation. And the elders have the authority to determine which works the local congregation will be involved in. Again, there are a lot of really good things we could be doing. There's a lot of great works, but we have to pick and choose because we can't help out everyone. We can't do or can't be involved in every good work that exists. Otherwise, well, we'd be sending about 5 cents to each one of them, and we really wouldn't be doing any of them any good. But the elders have the authority to watch for the souls of the congregation. That means the elders fulfill their God-given responsibility when they go to members and tell them what they're doing can cost them their eternal soul. If you're doing something which could endanger your soul, the elders have the right to try to come and help you with it, try to correct you. Your soul is worth more than the entire world, Matthew 16 and verse 26. Even though some people think it's prying, the elders can lose their own soul if they don't try to help you save yours. Back in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel was told by God, "You go tell these people what they need to do, and if they don't listen to you, their blood will be on their heads, but you will be innocent because you went and told them what they needed to do. However, if you don't tell them what they need to do, they're still going to be lost, but their blood will be held, or their blood will be on your hands because you didn't do what you could have done to save them." The same thing applies to the eldership. And in all honesty, it applies to every Christian too. If there are people out in the world who are lost and you don't do anything about it, and you could, their blood's on your hands too, and on mine, because we have not done what we could to save their souls. But as always, it's important to let the Bible speak on all matters. Men say that elders have no authority, the Bible disagrees. Men say that the elders have every authority, but again, the Bible disagrees. Men say that elders have absolute authority in matters of faith and practice. Well, the Bible disagrees with that too. The Bible lays out the authority of elders quite plainly. Follow the word of God, help the congregation to do the same thing, oversee the work of the local congregation, and correct those who need correcting. By and large, that's the role of an elder in a nutshell. It's important that we not take away from the authority of the elders, but also that we don't give them more authority than God gave them. This is because it's always important to follow what has been commanded by God. God commanded that in order to be saved, you hear the gospel. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. God commanded that in order to be saved, you must believe. John 3:16. God commanded in order to be saved, you must confess Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 10 and verse 10 says, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. God commanded that in order to be saved, you must repent. Acts 2:38. And God commanded that in order to be saved, you must be baptized. 1 Peter 3:21, baptism doth also now save us. And God commanded that in order to be saved, you must live faithfully. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. If we try to remove anything that God has commanded or add to it, that is damnable heresy, and we will end up spending eternity in hell for it. If there's anything we can do for you this evening to help you be right with God, there's no better time than now. Because we want you to go to heaven. Please come as we stand and as we sing.